This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's session of Quranic Pearls, which is our last session today, Insha'Allah, we will be looking at Surah An-Nas from Juz number 30. And today's topic is about divine protection, about seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against our greatest enemy. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind, Malikin Nas, the sovereign of mankind, Ilahin Nas, the God of mankind, Min Sharril Waswasil Khannas, from the evil of the retreating whisperer, Alladhi Yuwaswisu Fi Sudurin Nas, who whispers evil into the chests of mankind, min al-jinnati wan-nas, from among the jinn and mankind. From the beginning, shaitan has been an enemy to human beings. And shaitan is always seeking ways to take people away from Allah Azza wa Jal, to mislead people from the straight path. So in this surah, we are being taught as to how to deal with this great enemy. And the way we deal with this enemy is that we seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because with the protection of Allah, a person becomes stronger and the plot of shaitan comes to nothing. With the protection of Allah, with the help of Allah, a person is able to reject and counter the whisper of shaitan. Then the whisper of shaitan does not have any effect on a person. And with the strength of faith, a person is actually able to receive the ability to do more good then. And this way, a person is able to win against this enemy who is shaitan, who is after every single one of us. So we see that the last surah of the Quran, at the end of the Quran, Surah An-Nas offers us necessary guidance, guidance that we are in desperate need of in order to protect ourselves from the plot of shaitan. So in this surah, what are we doing? We are seeking refuge with who? With Rabbin Nas, with the Rabb of people, with Malikin Nas, with the sovereign of people, with Ilahin Nas, with the God of people. And we are asking Him, Azza wa Jalla, to protect us against what? Against the evil of waswasil khannas, against the evil of the retreating whisperer, the shaitan, who is the root of all evil. And you see, the greatest evil, the greatest fitna of shaitan is that he whispers into yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, right into the chests of people. And then he invites people to do wrong. How? By making wrong appear as beautiful, by presenting evil as good. And shaitan incites and urges people to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan strengthens their will to disobey Allah. And at the same time, shaitan makes people dislike and resent the doing of good deeds. Shaitan weakens people's resolve to obey Allah. And shaitan greatly deceives people. And this is why we are being taught over here that we surrender ourselves, we give ourselves entirely in Allah's protection against the evil of shaitan, because that is the only refuge and safety that we have. And you see over here, it is mentioned very clearly that shaitan whispers into the chests of people. You see, your chest, your sadr, is your most sacred space, because this is where your life is centered. This is where your heart is. And the heart is what is connected with the rest of the body. The heart is what leads the rest of the body. It is what sustains the brain also. So when shaitan tries to whisper into the chest of people, what is he trying to do? He's trying to overcome them entirely. And so it is very important that we pay attention to our inner space. How do we think? What kind of thoughts do we entertain? What kind of thoughts do we entertain about ourselves, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about other people? Because it is through these thoughts that shaitan tries to lead us astray. And a lot of times what happens is that in this inner space, we become very unkind to ourselves. And this is how, again, shaitan weakens us from the inside in order to overcome us, in order to defeat us, in order to make us, in order to make our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala weak. Now, Surah An-Nas is a very unique surah about which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, do you know that last night certain verses were revealed, the like of which there is no precedence, meaning there is nothing like these two surahs. And these two surahs are قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, which together are called the مُعَوِّذَتَيْن, the two surahs through which we seek refuge with Allah. And Surah An-Nas is one of the best ways of seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Ibn Abbas, shall I not inform you of the best words of refuge that those who seek refuge ever use? Meaning, do you want to know the best and most effective way of seeking God's protection against evil, against shaitan, against any danger? And Ibn Abbas said, Bala, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, these two surahs. So these two surahs are the best way of seeking refuge. It is so unfortunate that people, even though they know these surahs, they don't have faith that these surahs are a means of protection. Instead, they would rather go to someone who can give them a necklace or a charm to wear, or someone who can, you know, read something on them and, you know, give them something to eat or drink and things like that. Whereas the recitation of these two surahs is the best way of seeking refuge. And we have been taught to recite these surahs after every salah. In a hadith, we learn that Uqba ibn Amir said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded me to recite the mu'awwidhat, meaning the Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas, after every salah. He instructed me to recite these surahs after every salah. In other narrations, we learn about reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, these three surahs after every single salah for our protection. And if we recite these surahs three times in the morning and in the evening, then this is sufficient to protect us against every evil. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the recitation of these surahs three times in the morning and three times in the evening will takfika min kulli shay. They will suffice you against everything. And you see, in Surah Al-Falaq, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against the evils, the physical evils, the evils that we are surrounded with, evils that we can see, evils that we cannot see, you know, evil of the night, evil of the magic of the magicians. And in Surah An-Nas, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against shaitan. So these are surahs that we should really make a habit of, that we recite them in the morning, in the evening, after every salah. And we should teach these surahs to our children. And don't just teach them and then let them recite whenever they want. Make a point that your children are reciting these surahs. You see, these days, all of us are afraid. We are afraid to shake hands. We are afraid to touch anyone. We are afraid to touch anything. Constantly, we're cleaning our hands. We're wearing masks. We're practicing social distancing. And yes, we need to take these precautions, absolutely. But at the same time, we also need to take precautions. How? By seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because, just like the virus is something that we cannot see with our own eyes, shaitan is a certain danger, a certain enemy, whom, again, we cannot see with our own eyes. So we need to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the safety and the protection that we so desperately need. Because, you see, the virus, yes, it is something dangerous, but its impact is only worldly. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring healing to those who are in difficulty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us all out of this difficulty. But the point is that, a worldly illness, a physical illness, right? Sooner or later it goes. Or worldly difficulty is something that eventually comes to an end. But the danger of shaitan, the threat that shaitan poses at us, that danger is everlasting. And if shaitan leads a person astray, if shaitan gains power over a person, then what does that mean? That means that a person will suffer in hell, in Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. So this is the danger of shaitan. The evil of shaitan is an evil that is greater than any other evil that we know of. And you see, there are people who are vulnerable to certain dangers, to certain illnesses, right? The risk is greater. But when it comes to the evil of shaitan, then remember, shaitan is an enemy to every single one of us. All of us are vulnerable. All of us are in danger. And so it is essential that we beg Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Him to protect us against the evil of shaitan in the morning, in the evening, after every salah. And we also teach our families, we remind one another to seek refuge with Allah. So let's look at the meaning of this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us over here. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You should say that I seek refuge with the Lord of mankind. Meaning I seek refuge with the Rabb of people. Why? Because He alone is able to protect His slaves. You see, first of all, the Prophet ﷺ is being addressed. That قُلْ, you say. But the application over here is general. So every believer must say this. Every single one of us should say this. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. That I beseech the help and protection of the Rabb of people. I ask Him to protect me, to save me. The question is, who is رَبُّ النَّاسِ? Rabb is Lord, Master. Rabb is the nourisher and sustainer, the one who creates, the one who provides and nurtures. And that by definition also means that He provides safety. Because when you're looking after something, you are ensuring its growth. You also have to ensure that it is protected, it is safe. So for example, if you have a plant at home and you're taking care of it and you want that plant to grow, it's not enough for you to just put it in sunlight and just, every now and then make sure that you are giving it water. You also have to make sure that it's protected against anything that could cause it harm. So, for example, if you have a pet at home that could potentially damage the plant, you make sure that that plant is safely put away, right? That pet does not have access to that plant. So, nurturing, providing, sustaining, ensuring growth also means providing safety. So Rabbin Nas, first of all, we say that I seek refuge with Rabbin Nas, the Lord of all people, who is the only Rabb of all people, who has created them, and who nurtures them, who takes care of their affairs, who sets things right for them. So we are seeking refuge with him. But isn't it the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of everyone, Rabb al-Alameen, the Rabb of the worlds, not just of people? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of all creatures, the angels and the jinn and the fish and the birds and the animals. Yani all creatures are, have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the Lord of all things. But then why do we specify over here that I seek refuge with the Rabb of people? Because we are people. And as people, we are acknowledging over here that Allah is our Rabb and that we are in need of His aid and protection. And it is only Allah, our Rabb, our Creator, our Sustainer, the one who regulates our affairs, who can truly protect us from what we fear, who can truly save us from the danger that we find ourselves in. And another reason why we say Rabbin Nas is because out of all the creation, people, it is human beings who are respectable, right? In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen human beings over the rest of the creatures. So we are acknowledging over here that Allah is even greater because He is the Rabb of all people. Yes, people may be powerful. Yes, people may have a lot of strength and a lot of ability and a lot of brains and a lot of skills. But Allah Azza wa Jal is actually their Lord, the one who created them, the one who owns them, the one who has power over them. So we seek refuge not with people, but with the Lord of people. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rabbin Nas, Rabbil Alameen, a Rabb is one of the names of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains all of His creatures. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He provides for not just the worldly needs of people, but He also provides for their spiritual sustenance and for their protection against the enemy, shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who saves them. So Allah, He is the Rabb of all. This is His rububiyya amma. But when it comes to the believers, those who seek refuge with Him, those who worship Him and seek His help, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is especially their Lord. So this is rububiyya khassa. Ibrahim alayhi salam praised his Lord as الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينِي, the one who created me, so he is the one who guides me. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِي, and he is the one who gives me to eat and also gives me to drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِي, and when I fall ill, he is the one who heals me. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِي, and he is the one who will cause me to die and then he will resurrect me again. So from the beginning of my existence until the end and everything in between, Allah is the one who takes care of me. My Rabb is the one who takes care of me. Remember that Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rabb, the Lord, He is the one who fulfills the needs of all His slaves. And this is why when we need protection, again, we turn to Allah. We seek protection with Him. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learn that Allah Azza wa Jal says, O my slaves, all of you are lost except for those whom I guide. So seek guidance from me. I will guide you. O my slaves, all of you are hungry except for those whom I feed. So seek food from me. I will feed you. O my slaves, all of you are unclothed except for those whom I give clothing to. So seek clothing from me and I will clothe you. O my slaves, all of you commit sin by night and by day, and I am the one who forgives all sins. So seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. So this hadith beautifully tells us that whatever need we have, Allah is the only one who fulfills that need. Allah is the only one who provides for us so that those needs are met. So when we need protection also, who is it that can protect us? It is our Rabb, Rabbin Nas. This is why we begin by saying, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, I seek refuge with the Lord of people. And then ملك الناس. The Rabb of people is also the Malik, the sovereign of people. You see, there are two other names of Allah which are similar to the name Malik. And these names are Malik and Malik. So there are multiple names of Allah, very similar in meaning. And all of them remind us of the fact that that authority and ownership is with Allah alone. Allah is the only one who possesses absolute control and absolute power over everything. It is said that Malik is the one who has complete possession and control of something, but Malik is the one who, in addition to that, also has the power to implement his command, to execute his will. So Malikin Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the real, the true, the actual Malik and sovereign of people whose decree and command regarding them prevails. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Yes, there are many creatures who have some level of power and authority, but their power is not absolute. Their authority is not complete. And it is not necessary that what they decide prevails. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the real Al-Malik al-Haqq. He is Malik al-Nas. The skies and the earth are in His control. And none shares His dominion at all. No one besides Him is the real owner. Every owner besides Allah is a temporary, feeble owner whose authority, whose control is limited, whose ownership is short-lived. And we see this, we witness this in the world, that great kings, they're born and they die. Great presidents, they come and they leave, right? This is the reality of the creation, that we do not have absolute authority and power, especially over human beings. We see that there are, you know, brutal leaders who are, able to force people to commit great atrocities. But, you know, while they may have control over, you know, some aspects of people, they cannot have control over their hearts. They cannot control, they cannot break their spirits. So Malik al-Nas, the real sovereign and owner of people, is who? It is Allah Azza wa Jal. He has so much authority and control over people that He can even change the hearts of people, right? He can change the way that people think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malik al-Nas, before Him, all kings and all rulers are nothing. The entire earth and skies are in His grasp. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal calls us every night and says, Ana al-Malik, Ana al-Malik, I am the King, I am the King. Man dha alladhi yad'uni fa'astajiba lahu. Who is it that will call upon me so that I will answer him? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik of all people. Yet He invites us that we should call upon Him. Yet He invites us that we should ask Him. We should seek forgiveness from Him. So He is Malik al-Nas. And then Ilah al-Nas, the God of people. Meaning Allah, who is the Rabb of mankind, the Malik of mankind, is in fact the only Ilah of mankind as well. Meaning the only one who is deserving of their worship. And remember this, as human beings, no one deserves our worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. There is nothing at all, no one at all, that deserves our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no God besides Allah. And the only God we need is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is enough for us. So He is Ilahin Nas. And it is for His worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And it is for His worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends messengers to people over and over again to remind them, to call them to the worship of Allah. Right? We learn that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create jinn and men except that they should worship me. The prophets of Allah said to their nations, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. All of you should worship Allah. You have no God besides Him. So Allah is إله الناس. He is the real, the actual God of people, meaning the only one who deserves their worship. And the fact is that all people are his slaves, but not all people worship Allah, right? Too bad for them. They're the ones who are missing out. Those who truly worship Allah, those who accept Allah as their ilah, and who dedicate worship to Allah, such people, such slaves are Allah's special slaves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his prophets, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا, mention our slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them. About Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Indeed, he was a very grateful slave, a very grateful worshipper. About the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. That glory be to the one who took his worshipper by night, right? From where? From Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. So we see that the prophets of Allah are described as the worshippers of Allah. So Allah is ilahin nas, the true, the actual God of people, who is the only one deserving of their worship. And he is the only God that people need because he is enough for them. So we mention three sifat of Allah, three attributes of Allah over here. The attribute of rububiyyah, the fact that he is Rabb, he alone is Rabb, the creator, the master, the owner, the nourisher, the sustainer, the protector, right? And then the second sifat that we mention is of mulk, the fact that he is Malikin Nas, right? That he is the real sovereign of people, that we belong to him, that he has complete authority over us, that we cannot escape him, we cannot get away from him. And then the third sifa that we mentioned is of Uluhiyya, the fact that he alone is God, he alone is Ilah. And by mentioning, after mentioning three sifat, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against one evil. And what is that evil? It is min sharril waswasil khannas, the evil of the retreating whisperer. And this shows us how dangerous this evil is, that we call upon Allah by three of his unique, powerful attributes, and we ask Allah to protect us against one evil. This shows us how dangerous, how serious this evil is. The evil of this retreating whisperer who is shaitan. And what does this shaitan do? What is his evil? His evil is, his shar is, that الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. He puts waswasa into the chests of people. The question is, what exactly is this waswasa? You see, waswasa is described as a sawtul khafi, a very subtle hidden sound, meaning a sound that cannot be heard by the ear, but it is there. So sometimes the word waswasa is actually applied to the sound of the rustling of leaves or the sound of, you know, moving jewelry and things like that. But technically, waswasa, yani, is the whisper of shaitan. Right? It is the talk that happens silently inside of the mind. You cannot hear it with your ears. It is perceived by the mind. It is happening inside of us, right? So it is described as hadithun nafs. It is the talk that's happening inside of the nafs because shaitan has access over there. And so shaitan, you know, he puts these subtle messages into the minds of people, right? There's some interference that he causes. And between those brain connections, etc. And so what happens is that sometimes a person is not even able to decipher that, is this me or is this shaitan? That am I the one who is, you know, who is thinking like this, who has this bad idea, or is it shaitan who is telling me over here? So waswasa is very hidden. Right? It cannot be perceived by the ears. It's happening inside of us. And you see, when these thoughts overcome a person, then they turn into negative thinking patterns. right? These wasawis, these evil whispers, they turn into thinking patterns. And who is this waswas, the whisperer? It is the shaitan. And on every person, you know, there's a shaitan that is appointed, right? Who has access to that person, who whispers evil into that person. But he is also described as khannas. And khannas is one who retreats again and again, which means that shaitan, when he comes to a person to cast an evil thought in his mind, right? What happens is that when a person remembers Allah, when a person says Bismillah or A'udhu Billah or any kind of dhikr, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then shaitan goes away. When the adhan is made, shaitan goes away, right? But then shaitan doesn't stay away. You see, there's some people who, when they're bothering you, sometimes you give them a piece of your mind that they get afraid of you, right? And they actually leave you for good. Or at least they stop bothering you for some time, right? But shaitan does not quit. Shaitan does not give up. He is khannas. He keeps coming again and again and again. And this is why it is so important that we keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against the evil of shaitan. You see, sometimes what happens is that people think that if we take a certain vaccine, then, you know, we're good, right? We're fine then. Nothing can harm us, right? Inshallah, we hope that these vaccines turn out to be like that. But Allahu A'lam, any long-term effect is something that we don't know for sure as of yet. But, you know, there's no vaccine that you can take against the evil of shaitan, right? There's nothing that you can use to permanently keep shaitan away from you. Because the nature of shaitan is that he will keep coming back. He will not quit. So we have to constantly give ourselves in Allah's protection against the evil of shaitan. And the danger of shaitan is that he yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. He directly tries to access the sadr, right? Meaning he puts these thoughts where? In the chest, fi sudurin nas. Right? So these thoughts gather in the chest, and if they're strong enough, then they enter the heart. But if they're not strong enough, if a person repels them, then they will not enter the heart. So remember that sadr, the chest, is different from the heart. The heart is inside of the sadr, all right? The heart is inside of the chest, but it hasn't been said over here, fi qulubin nas. It has been said, fi sudurin nas, and this is such a blessing. Because if shaitan had direct access to our hearts, then it would be very, very difficult. Shaitan only has access to the chest. So he puts the waswasa into the chest. And when those thoughts gather and they strengthen and they stay, then eventually they enter into the heart. But this means that we have the ability to shield ourselves against the whispers of shaitan. And how do we do that? We do that by immediately seeking refuge with Allah. The moment we realize this is a negative thought, it does not befit me that I should think like this, that I have a negative assumption about a good friend, right? About a fellow believer, that I should think like this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that I should think so bad about myself. These are not appropriate, befitting thoughts. And you say, A'udhu Billah, you say, Astaghfirullah. Right? You do something to counter those thoughts, then those wasawis, they will not enter your heart, right? But when we let those thoughts stay in the chest, and they keep gathering, and they keep, you know, and they make a home in the chest, then eventually they will enter the heart. And remember that when something enters the heart, then what is it that leads the body? It's the heart that leads the body. The heart is your boss, which is why the Prophet ﷺ told us that if the heart is good, then the entire body is good. But if that lump of flesh, right, if that is corrupt, then the entire body is corrupt. So shaitan wants to access the heart, which is why he yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. So it is important that we repel these thoughts right away and we don't let them stay. We don't let them linger. We don't let them get stronger. Now, when shaitan whispers, now these whispers are of different kinds. Sometimes these whispers are such that they are meant to corrupt a person's beliefs, right? The beliefs regarding Allah, regarding the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, regarding the Quran. So, you know, shaitan will put a waswasa like, who knows if this Quran is even true? Astaghfirullah. Yani the moment a thought like this comes, a'udhu billah, right? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then sometimes what happens is that shaitan whispers thoughts to incite us to commit sin, to urge us to do something wrong, to encourage and motivate us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, we know that looking at certain images is not appropriate. Images that contain, you know, nakedness of people, or images, of people from their private lives that we should not be looking at. We have no business. But, you know, shaitan tempts a person. Okay, just tap. Just look. It's okay. Just a second. Everybody looks at it. It's on social media after all. You know, they want everybody to see it. No, forget about other people. What is appropriate for you? Are you supposed to see this? No, you're not. So stop right there. And that temptation to look, this temptation is from who? It is from shaitan. That waswasa, that thought, that take a look, this is from shaitan. And then sometimes these whispers make a person leave obedience, that a person becomes lazy to pray. It is time to pray. You know you're supposed to pray. And this thought, you know, comes into your mind that, oh, I'm too tired, man. Why do we have to pray? Astaghfirullah. These are whispers of shaitan. Sometimes what happens is that shaitan is not able to, lead a person astray by corrupting their belief, by making them commit sin, by making them leave obedience. So then what does shaitan do? Shaitan makes a person show off, right? The good that they're doing. Because the moment a person shows off, then what happens is that their deeds are wasted, right? We are told in the Quran about how we should not waste our deeds. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم. Right? بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. Because the one who shows off, right, wastes his deeds. And then what happens is that if a person is protected against showing off, then shaitan whispers in order to make that person be amazed with himself. That, oh, look at you. You haven't mentioned your deed to anyone. You've kept your sadaqah a secret. And wow, you've been doing so many good deeds consistently through Ramadan. You haven't committed this sin for the longest time. You know, you're awesome, right? And this ujb, right? This irjab bin nafs, that a person is, you know, really happy with himself, this is also very dangerous. Because what happens is that then a person begins to think that I am a good person. I am, you know, on the path to success. A person begins to see their good deeds as, you know, greater than they truly are. And then a person becomes lazy. A person becomes slow in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes what happens is that shaitan whispers angry thoughts, right? Or thoughts related to jealousy and, anger against people and grudges. And this is also very dangerous because this pushes a person towards ill behavior. Sometimes shaitan uses his whispers to invite people to commit major sins, sometimes minor sins, sometimes causing problems in doing good deeds. Like, for example, you get up to pray and you're making wudu, and then this shak, this doubt, did I wash myself two times or three times, right? Is this the third time that I'm washing my face? Did I actually rinse my mouth or did I forget, right? So constantly interfering in the process of making wudu so that a person is in doubt. And then in salah as well, there's distraction, there's forgetfulness. So these are all ways of shaitan, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, to bother us, to disrupt our efforts, and to take our peace and calm away. So how do we deal with that? We deal with that by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And first, we remember the fact that shaitan's plot is actually weak. All right. We learn in a hadith that once a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he complained. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we have thoughts of such nature that," and that person, you know, gestured that we would rather be, you know, burnt cold than even speak about those thoughts. Any of those thoughts are horrible. They're unmentionable. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi alladhi radda kaydahu ila alwaswasa." Allah is the most great. Allah is the most great. Allah is the most great. Praise be to Allah who has reduced the plot of shaitan to just a waswasa. Meaning all that shaitan can do is just give you waswasa. Just put that negative thought. Any shaitan doesn't actually have power to influence your behavior. He just puts the thought and you actually have the power to repel that thought, to reject that thought. So the sign of faith is that a person recognizes the waswasa of shaitan and that a person dislikes that thought and fights against it and repels it, just like a fighter who, when he's fighting with an enemy, what does he do? Recognizes the enemy, right? Fights against the enemy and eventually defeats the enemy. And remember that shaitan generally puts such thoughts into the hearts of which people, or into the chests of which people? People who are actively worshiping Allah. People who are seeking sacred knowledge. Who are doing good things. Why? Because those who are not doing these good things, shaitan is already pleased with them. They're already following him. So the worst thoughts he will bring to who? He will bring to those who are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will make them doubt themselves. He will make them, you know, condemn themselves on the inside so that they are always self-loathing and self-hating and being unkind to themselves. And then they have low self-esteem. And then they become discouraged from doing good deeds. So it is very important that we reject these thoughts the moment that they come in. And when a person accepts the waswasa of shaitan, a person believes those lies of shaitan, then this is a sign of weakness of faith, right? Not the coming of the waswasa. Remember that. The coming of the waswasa, the fact that shaitan, put a negative thought in your mind, that doesn't mean that you're a weak person or that you're a bad person. Because shaitan is able to do that, right? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The problem is, the weakness of faith is when you believe the lie of shaitan, when you accept the influence of shaitan, this is problematic. And the more we listen to shaitan, the stronger his influence is. So we have to fight against it from the very beginning. And then it is said, min al-jinnati wal-nas, who is from, meaning this waswas al-khannas, this retreating whisperer, is from among the jinn and mankind. Yes, there are shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. There are devils among human beings and devils among the jinn. The jinn shayateen may be locked up in Ramadan, right? As we learn in hadith that shayateen are locked up. Now, people who are shayateen are not locked up. The waswasa of jinn is hidden. Right? Because jinn is a creation that is hidden from us. We don't see it, we don't hear it, etc. But people who are shayateen, their waswasa, their invitation to sin is public, it is open, and it is far more dangerous. Remember that jinn are a creation of Allah that are hidden from our senses, right? And they have been created to worship Allah as well. And they have been created with unique abilities, and jinn are of different kinds. And remember that every jinn is not shaitan, just like every human is not shaitan. We learn in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ, that amongst us, jinn are those who are righteous, and amongst us are those who are different, meaning they're not so righteous, they're evil, right? So jinn are a creation of Allah whom we should not reject. Because some people think that, you know, just because we cannot see them, we cannot hear them, they're not real. No, they are real because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them very clearly in the Quran, right? And jinn are even able to take different forms and they will be held accountable for their deeds as well. But remember that jinn, where they have certain strengths, All right, where, for example, they're able to build different things. We learn about how Sulaiman alayhi salam, you know, he made them do a lot of work. They have certain amazing skills. They're able to go up into the skies and they're able to dive into the waters. They have amazing strengths, but they also have certain weaknesses. First of all, remember that إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The plot of shaitan is weak. All right, shaitan does not have power over you. Shaitan does not have power over Allah's righteous servants. When a person has strong faith, then shaitan is actually afraid of that person, like shaitan was afraid of Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected the jinn to the service of Sulaiman alayhi salam, not other way around. All right, and also, jinn are not able to take the form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the dreams of people. We also learn about how there is only a certain limit that they can reach into the skies, and when a door is closed and you say Bismillah on it, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do, shaitan is not able to open that door. All right, so it is important to remember that jinn, yes, they may have certain strengths, shaitan may have certain powers, but at the end of the day, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. I do not need to be afraid, all right? This is not an enemy whom we sit and we fear. No, this is an enemy that, yes, we get annoyed by, yes, we get harmed by, you know, when he makes us, when his whispers overcome us and we end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a nuisance, all right? Not something that we should fear. All right, and especially when we have the help of Allah, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, then indeed my slaves, my worshippers, you, O shaitan, have no power over them. And we learn in the hadith that shaitan gets tired. All right, why? Because of the strong believer. Yani, when a believer, for example, keeps remembering Allah, and shaitan has to keep going away, and then he has to come back again. And then again, the believer remembers Allah. You know, shaitan is constantly going, coming back, constantly going, coming back. You know, this is something that exhausts shaitan. All right? It weakens shaitan. And this is why we have to keep seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal. And remember that those who listen to shaitan, shaitan actually has power over them. Right? Because they become weaker and they become easily affected by the waswasa of shaitan. But one thing is for sure, which is that shaitan is our enemy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna shaitana lakum aduwwun. So what should we do? We should take him as our enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So take him as an enemy. Remember that shaitan is your enemy. Don't forget that. And never have a soft spot for shaitan. This is so, sad that sometimes Muslims will have a soft spot for shaitan. Yani, that enemy is out to mislead you, and you are here thinking, you know, having pity for shaitan and thinking that no, we should not blame shaitan. We should blame ourselves. Yes, we are responsible, all right, for listening to shaitan, but realize that shaitan is your enemy. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever be, fooled into thinking that shaitan is not your enemy or that shaitan is not after you. He's after every single one of us. And remember that Adam alayhi salam, our father, shaitan did not spare him, right? He swore oaths and he kept urging Adam alayhi salam, right? And Hawa, both of them, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used so many tactics, so many ways, you know, repeatedly to make them disobey Allah. And just like that, shaitan is after all of us. He does not quit easily. He does not quit easily. So remember his enmity. Yahya bin Mu'adh said, O son of Adam, save yourself from shaitan. Actively guard yourself against your enemy. Because your enemy, shaitan, has been here a long time. And you're new. Okay, you're new over here. You just came here. And shaitan has been here for a very long time. From the beginning of humanity, shaitan has been trying to lead people astray, right? And you're fresh here. You've just come here like, what, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, maybe 20 years ago? You're new here. Shaitan, your enemy, is free and you are busy. meaning you have so many things to do in life, and shaitan has one thing to do in life, which is to mislead you. Shaitan has one goal, which is to destroy you, and you have many. And every single day when you wake up, you have a list of things in your head, right? I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. You have different obligations. When shaitan enters the morning, shaitan has one goal, to mislead you. Shaitan sees you and you do not see him. You forget shaitan and shaitan does not forget you, right? How often do we actually say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, consciously? That, you know, shaitan is after me. This is from shaitan. So often we forget. Even when someone reminds us, say, A'udhu billah, this is from shaitan. You know, we like to think that no, right? So we forget shaitan. Shaitan does not forget us. And our nafs is an aid to shaitan. And because we also have inner weaknesses, shaitan uses them against us. He knows which buttons to press. So be on guard and remember this enemy. Don't forget this enemy. And shaitan is such that, you know, he uses different ways to lead us astray, to misguide us. We learn that, you know, he uses tasheel, right? That gradually, slowly, he makes sin easy for us, right? And he uses different ways. So sometimes he makes us think bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Or he makes us have doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he makes us have doubt about the deen of Allah, about the truth, about the Quran, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So any such thought, we have to seek refuge with Allah. Then shaitan doesn't just stop there. He also tries to interfere when we are, when we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That first of all, he makes us occupied with lahu and la'ib, right, with play and amusement and randomness, so that we forget about our obligations or that we delay our obligations, right? And then when we do get up to pray or when we do get up to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan tries to, you know, reduce the quality. He tries to negatively impact the quality of that act of worship. So for example, we're praying, but then what happens? Constantly, remember this, remember that. Oh my God, what happened over there? And, you know, all of a sudden in Salah, we're thinking about solutions to the biggest problems. We're writing emails. We're writing the best comebacks. You know, we're thinking about, we're planning our day. We're planning next month. We're planning our entire life. So this is from who? These thoughts to distract us from Salah are from shaitan. Sometimes what happens is that when we're reciting, then shaitan interferes in our recitation. We know a surah so well, but then when we're reciting in Salah, all of a sudden, mind is blank. We start making mistakes in the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. We start making mistakes in the recitation of Surah An-Nas. Then when we're praying, again, shaitan makes us doubt about the number of Salah, the number of raka'at, right? That how many, is this the first sajda or second sajda, right? First raka'ah, second raka'ah. And then, you know, it's amazing. We're supposed to be focusing in Salah, but our entire focus is on who? It is on other people, right? What is my daughter doing? What is she eating? What is she saying? And, you know, bring yourself back to Salah. This distraction is from who? It is from shaitan. And then this is so sad that sometimes we are praying and we pray lazily, right? That we are not interested, you know, in praying Salah. That is also from shaitan, right? And sometimes what happens is that, you know, shaitan makes us forget the dhikr of Allah. He makes us forget to remember Allah. So for example, we sneeze and we forget to say Alhamdulillah, right? And what happens is that, when shaitan whispers again and again, all right, he, like I mentioned earlier, the whispers of shaitan then form into certain negative patterns, all right? Certain negative patterns. So, you know, when we say things like, this is my own self, all right? This is my own self. This is not shaitan. Well, think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create you as an evil person. No, he put in you the potential to do good as well. So why is it that evil aspect of you is more active? It is stronger. Because of whose influence? Because of the influence of shaitan. Shaitan has trained that well. Which is why in the month of Ramadan also, when shayateen are locked up, we are still, you know, on those bad patterns, because shaitan has trained that aspect, right? So recognize that the source is of that evil is shaitan. And this is something we need to acknowledge. Shaitan wants us to not even think of him as an enemy, all right? And this is what real enemies do. They want you to think that they're not your enemy, they're your friends. And this is how they put us in greater danger. So shaitan sometimes makes us forget the remembrance of Allah, right? And sometimes we are remembering Allah with our tongues, but our heart is completely distracted. Or when we have to make dhikr, we fall asleep, right? Or we begin to yawn. Or all of a sudden, you know, he will make us remember different things so that we leave the dhikr of Allah and we get distracted by worldly things. How often it happens that after salah, it doesn't take long to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, you know, 10 times or 33 times. But shaitan creates such urgency. Pick up your phone, check the recent messages, right? Get up and go see what's happening outside, right? Go check this. And it creates such urgency that we do not have those few moments to make the dhikr of Allah. And when we don't make the dhikr of Allah, then what happens? Shaitan gets to spend more time with us. And the more time he spends with us, the more he casts evil whispers, right, in order to influence us. Then sometimes what happens is that shaitan actively prevents us from doing good things. When we intend to do something good, he interferes. Don't give sadaqah, you'll have less money. Don't give that donation. $50, no, make it 40. 100? Oh, that's huge. Make it 50. All right. And then, you know, when we are intending to do something good, like for example, we intend to recite Quran. He says, no, you're tired. You need a break, right? Reduce the recitation. Recite later. You have the whole day, right? It's okay. Take the day off, right? You're fasting. Maybe in the night. So this is also from shaitan that, you know, shaitan tries to hinder us from doing good deeds. And another thing is that shaitan makes us busy in doing useless things, things that are of no benefit whatsoever. In a narration in Musnad Ahmad, we learned that once the Prophet ﷺ saw a man chasing a pigeon. All right, chasing a pigeon. So he said, shaitanun yatba'u shaitana. Shaitan chasing a shaitan. Yani, this is the action of shaitan. Something completely, completely useless. Yani, what are you going to get by chasing a chicken? By chasing a bird? What are you going to get? So nothing. This is just a waste of time. So when we are surfing the web, all right, that is something old actually. When we are spending so much time on social media, all right, just scrolling, looking at random things, what are we doing? This is, you know, every moment is precious. Every second is precious. If we don't have the energy to read something beneficial, we can listen to something beneficial, right? We can just quietly make dhikr. But shaitan distracts us from doing good things by keeping us occupied with random useless things. And sometimes shaitan, another thing he does is that he makes evil, the disobedience to Allah, attractive. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, right? Because shaitan, he makes one evil attractive, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And shaitan also makes us, behave in an immodest way, or dress in an immodest way, and post such photos and things like that. Immodesty is also from shaitan, right? And then, sometimes shaitan makes us fall before our desires. You know, certain desires are natural. Certain temptations are there. You know, that is how we were created. But shaitan makes us pursue them. So, for example, in a hadith, we learned that sometimes shaitan uses, a woman to tempt a man. Now, women are everywhere. They exist. And yes, men have you know, a certain weakness when it comes to women. But how shaitan overpowers even the most intelligent of men, and what happens to these men? All of their sanity goes away. All of their decency goes away. Right? They stop thinking logically. They become impulsive in the way that they talk, in the way that they comment, in the way that they stare, in the way that they, you know, speak about another woman. Astaghfirullah. Yani, this is from shaitan. Realize that you are under the influence of shaitan. So say a'udhu billah, lower your gaze, control yourself. And you know, sometimes people will just put the blame on women. You know, take responsibility. Take responsibility and realize that you are listening to shaitan. So say a'udhu billah and be careful. Another thing that shaitan does is that he causes problems between you know, family members, you know, basically in our relationships, that he keeps us busy in fighting and arguing, right? In between co-workers, friends, sometimes making the wife angry with the husband, sometimes making the husband angry with the wife. When people are constantly angry and bickering, and you know, children are, for example, jealous of one another, siblings become jealous of one another, like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, then what happens? When we're bickering, when we're angry, when we're bitter, we're not able to focus on worship. We're not able to come together and do good things. So this is all from shaitan. And it's very important that we remember these tricks of shaitan and we actively resist the waswasa of shaitan. How do we do that? By keeping our tongue busy with the dhikr of Allah. By actively opposing shaitan. How do we actively oppose shaitan? For example, eat and drink with the right hand, not with the left hand. When you give and take something, use the right hand, not the left hand. When you're yawning, try to control that yawn, because that is also from shaitan, right? Shaitan laughs at us. When it comes to spending money, spend responsibly, because shaitan wants us to be wasteful, right? Places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed, avoid those places. And another thing is, another way that we protect ourselves from the attack of shaitan is that we strengthen our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Shaitan has no power over those people who believe and who put their trust in their Lord. So put your trust in Allah. Strengthen your faith in Allah. Beautify yourself, equip yourself with taqwa, with the consciousness of Allah. Because we learn, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, indeed those people who have taqwa, when a visitation from shaitan comes, meaning something from shaitan comes to them, تَذَكَّرُوا, they instantly remember, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and then they're able to see. They're able to see very clearly in that situation that this is from shaitan, this is not correct, I should not do it. And keep your tongue busy with the dhikr of Allah in every situation, whatever dhikr that we are supposed to do. Like for example, when entering the house, bismillah. When eating and drinking, bismillah. Right? When entering the washroom, making the right dua. After eating, sitting in the car, driving, leaving the house, you know, there are appropriate adhkar, certain adhkar that we have been taught for different things, you know, throughout the day. And also when going to sleep, when waking up in the morning, your remembrance of Allah is your shield, your fortress against the shaitan. Right? In a hadith, we learned that Yahya alayhi salam, he told his people that I command you to remember Allah a lot. Because the person who remembers Allah a lot is like a person who is being pursued by an enemy. And what does he do? He finds a fortress and he secures himself inside of that fortress. So the dhikr of Allah is your fortress against the shaitan. Also, another important thing is that maintain cleanliness of the body. All right. When you wake up in the morning, you know, from the sunnah, we learn about how we should rub the nose and blow. And then also we should, of course, remember Allah and then make wudu and pray salah. These actions, they remove the effect of shaitan. All right. Observe cleanliness. Stay away from dirty things. Stay away from dirty places. All right. Stay away from najasa. keep your body clean to the best of your ability, keep your house clean. And also another thing is that strengthen your connection with the Quran, because we learn إِنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, that indeed this is my path which is straight, therefore follow it. And what is the straight path? Where do we learn about it? It's the Quran. So follow it, right? Stick to it. The Quran, strengthen your connection with it, listen to it, learn it, increase in your knowledge, because that is how you fortify yourself against shaitan. And it is so important that, you know, in the month of Ramadan, all of us try to, you know, listen to some lecture on a regular basis, you know, some series. And alhamdulillah, that's excellent, because it strengthens us. It gives us that spiritual boost, that encouragement to, you know, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, today's session is the last session of, you know, the series of Quranic pearls. And alhamdulillah, you have, you know, constantly stayed, you know, in touch with the Quran through this. After Ramadan, make a point that you sign up for some class, you enroll in some program, whether it is weekly, you know, or every day, or twice a week, or three times a week, but continue to learn, continue to stay aware, increase in your knowledge. Why? Because awareness is the first step towards safety. If you don't even know what dangers there are, how on earth are you meant to protect yourself? Right? Knowledge is power. Awareness is essential. And it's not enough that we have learned something once. We need to keep learning. We need to keep reminding ourselves. We need to keep growing in our knowledge, right? Why? Because this is how we protect ourselves against the shaitan. And you think about it, you knew of Surah An-Nas before as well. But I hope, inshallah, through today's session, you were, you know, you have gained a new appreciation, a new understanding, you know, stronger faith in the recitation of the surah, in the, you know, the importance of reading the surah in the morning, in the evening, after salah. So when you connect yourself with sacred knowledge, you are investing in yourself. You are protecting yourself. Right? You are helping yourself. So make a point that after Ramadan, you know, sign up right now. Don't even wait until after Ramadan. Sign up right now. Strengthen your connection with the Book of Allah. Strengthen your connection with sacred knowledge, because this is your defense. This is your safety. This is how you build that immunity. And all of us need that. Of course, another important thing is that we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection against shaitan. We seek refuge with him. And Surah An-Nas is one of those surahs that we recite, like I said, morning, evening, after salah, for our protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against the attacks of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recognize the waswasa of shaitan and to resist it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give power to shaitan over us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us in our faith, in our connection with his book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who remember Allah a lot. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are sincere to him. Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazat ash-shayatin wa a'udhu bika rabbi an yahdurun. Oh my Lord, I seek refuge with you against the whispers of shaitan, the nagging of shaitan, and oh my Lord, I seek refuge with you lest shaitan ever be near me, even lest shaitan ever have a power over me or access to me. Ya Allah, you protect us against the evil of shaitan. Insha'Allah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.